Sheriff's Office K-9. If anybody's inside, speak up now, you will get bit.
You didn't see anybody run through here at all? No running, nobody running through here?
The footage you are watching was captured during a manhunt for an active shooter. While the manhunt was ongoing, residents and business owners in the area were told to stay inside and lock their doors, and local schools entered a state of lockdown.
Sheriff's Office, anybody in here, come out right now. And I'll
send in there, buddy. The cause for this manhunt was a shooting that occurred just moments earlier in a quiet neighborhood in Sodus, New York. When police interviewed the resident who lived directly next door to the shooting, they were able to gain insight into the moments leading up to the call. As Tiffany Thayer was grabbing some gummy bears for her two-year-old, Tiffany took a peek out of her kitchen window and saw her neighbor Josh Niles leaning against his truck. He was having a fervent conversation with someone Tiffany was unfamiliar with. In this exact moment, Josh's girlfriend, Amber Washburn, was pulling into the driveway. As Tiffany reached for the gummy bears, she heard loud gunshots. That jolted her back to the kitchen window. Now Josh was gripping his chest and falling to the ground, while Amber put her vehicle in reverse as an attempt to escape the shooter. However, as Amber passed the shooter, he turned and shot her directly in the head, killing her instantly. The car, which was no longer being operated, but was still in reverse, ended up in another neighbor's driveway across the street. As this happened, Josh was injured but still alive. Tiffany could hear him calling out in anguish as he watched Amber be executed. This was followed by more gunshots, then silence. The end result was a gruesome crime scene. The most shocking discovery that police made upon arrival was in the backseat of that same vehicle, Amber and Josh's four-year-old son, alive but seemingly in a state of shock as he held on tight to his four-piece chicken nuggets. As the manhunt continued, multiple witnesses let the police know that they had seen the shooter sprint away through backyards. He was wearing a black sweatshirt and a green hat. The manhunt pushed through the night, but to no avail. The little success that they did have was in finding some potential evidence, a black Under Armour ski mask, which was taken to the lab for analysis. Video recordings from home surveillance systems were obtained, which made that mask all the more relevant. These snapshots displayed a masked figure roaming the streets just moments before the shooting. Not only did this person match the description that witnesses gave, but they were also headed in the direction of Josh and Amber's home. The question became more relevant than ever. Who could have done this and why?
It has been 2 days since someone shot and killed a young Sodus couple, and no one's been arrested.
Investigators say the shooter intentionally targeted 28-year-old Joshua Niles and 24-year-old Amber Washburn, but they did not say why. Tonight, friends gathered outside their home to mourn. Ashley Edlund was there.
Tonight, these candles and flowers line the sidewalk in front of Josh and Amber's home. Friends, family, and neighbors brought them out tonight to honor their memories.
Whoever did it has now made it to where my kids grow up that now. And that's nothing a kid should ever have to do. It's not something that you ever want to find out. The most I have to say to y'all is justice needs to be served. My kids need that closure.
This is Charlene Childers. About a decade earlier, Josh and Charlene had two children, Gabby and Bentley Niles. When detectives spoke with Charlene over the phone, she seemed to have a slew of complaints about Josh's behavior during their past relationship, including that he would sometimes have violent outbursts. These violent outbursts led to Charlene frequently calling 911, and after Charlene accused Josh of trying to choke her, Josh was arrested and charged with unlawful imprisonment. He ultimately pled guilty to these charges. The constant discourse between the two resulted in a separation, and they were forced to reach a custody agreement. The agreement allowed Josh to take care of the children during the summer months. As Josh moved on to his new girlfriend, Amber, Charlene had met and married a man named Tim Dean. The two had worked together at the Dumas, Texas Police Department. Charlene as an animal control officer and Tim as a sergeant. This was before he began working as the chief of police for Sunray Police Department. Tim also had his own three-year-old daughter from a previous marriage who lived with him and Charlene at the time. Soon after their wedding, Tim's charming qualities were overshadowed by a darker side. His ill behavior came to a climax when he physically abused his daughter, slapping her in the face. Little did he know, Charlene had recorded this incident and posted it on Facebook. Charlene's friends quickly notified the the police, and an investigation was launched. A few days later, Dean was charged with felony child abuse, and when Josh found out that his children were living under the same roof as a child abuser, he immediately filed for custody. This was quickly granted, and Charlene was no longer allowed to watch over her children. At this point, Charlene made the decision to divorce Tim in order to regain joint custody of her children. This happened just months before the shooting. The tension between Josh, Charlene, and Tim stood out to the investigators, and they now believed that they had their two main persons of interest. Phone records made Charlene easy to rule out, since her first phone call with detectives placed her in Texas immediately after the shooting. This was about 1,600 miles and a 24-hour drive away. That brings us to Tim. Theoretically, it would make more sense for Tim to be the shooter. Charlene was leaving him to regain custody of her children. But if Josh and Amber were dead, the court may have had no choice but to give them back to Charlene, potentially saving the marriage. However, in order to substantiate this theory, it was crucial for the investigators to figure out Tim's whereabouts leading up to the murders. After obtaining a warrant for Tim's phone records, they discovered that 2 days before the murders, he was not home in Texas, but he had actually placed a 911 call 400 miles away in Emporia, Kansas. The reason for the call was that Tim had wrecked his car and was sitting in a ditch on the side of a country road. What you are about to see is the body cam footage from this incident, recorded by Deputy Corey Nicolette of the Lyon County's Sheriff's Office.
What happened? Will? Turn around. Okay, I got your license and paperwork for this thing.
It's a damn rental car.
Mm-hmm. Got your rental agreement?
Yeah.
You can jump in here with me real quick.
Okay, jump in the front passenger seat.
Tim proceeded to tell the officer that he had attempted and failed a U-turn while looking for a gas station, which only resulted in getting stuck.
And you tried to turn around?
I tried to turn around right here, and it...
So you just made a big flip around?
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't really do that around here, as you see why.
Yeah.
Honestly, man, I was just driving. My whole life has kind of gone lately. More or less living out of my car.
But you had money to get a rental?
Yeah, I still work. Just off this weekend.
You didn't want to take your car?
My car started acting up on it.
Oh. So you're just driving around Kansas from Texas, huh?
Yeah.
So where's your wife?
She's at home.
I thought you said you didn't have a home.
Well, where you have a pending divorce and all that fun stuff. Yeah, that's mine.
Pending divorce, huh? Is that why you're out driving around instead of at home?
Yes, sir.
Not bad, huh?
Yeah, like I said, it's all gone.
So where are you going to go?
Well, I've got a family friend that I was going to go see, but...
422.
Where's that at?
That's all the way up in New York.
Who's Bowler Brown?
He's a buddy of mine.
Yeah, that's going to cause you more problems than anything.
I know.
So he rented the car for you?
Yeah, because I was stuck at work. I wasn't going to make it in time.
I'm not looking forward to that phone call.
He'd have had a better day had it been normal.
The agencies involved in Josh and Amber's case were able to obtain this footage from Deputy Nicolette's body cam, but they still weren't done building their timeline. Now part of the investigation, Nicolette backtracked to where Tim had gone after the encounter on the side of the road, K&S East Side Service Center. The crew there had helped Tim unload his belongings from the wrecked rental car and were willing to give their perspective to the police.
Thanks for coming in on your day off.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
The tote, when I opened it up, it was magazines with ammo and a...
Big magazines or little magazines?
Big ones. A AR-style, like, miniature rifle. That's when I saw the shotgun under the tote, grabbed the shotgun, and I saw a sport vest. And,
with pouches or something?
I don't remember if there was pouches, but it was all black.
Did he come in the shop?
Yeah,
we should have video of him in the shop.
Do you?
He should have
got a camera right there.
When Tim was done unloading his arsenal from the rental car, he then called an Uber. The police then also followed up with the driver at her day job.
You know, he warned me. He goes, it's a shotgun. Is that a problem? I said, is it loaded? He said, no, it's a problem. That's fine.
I don't, you know, I'm not scared of guns.
And that's the last you saw him was with Motel 6?
The last I saw him.
Okay.
She then dropped Tim off at a local Motel 6. Deputy Nicolette presumed Tim had rented another car after staying the night at the Motel 6, so he went to the local Enterprise to chat with the employees there.
So you know who I'm talking about?
I have an idea, yeah. He walked in, and then, I told him that he couldn't rent because he just had cash on him. And he was really upset about that, and he just left.
While Tim wasn't successful with this rental car agency, that didn't stop him from going to others nearby. He was somehow able to rent a car from the airport, and the vehicle he borrowed can be seen in these surveillance photos headed in the direction of upstate New York. At this point, law enforcement was satisfied with the amount of evidence that they had against Tim, and so they finally decided to confront him and arrest him. They placed explosives on his front door and blew it away. Tim soon came walking out with his hands up and was apprehended. They brought Tim down to the station for questioning.
Yeah, how did you get water too?
The first thing that they wanted to know was how well Tim knew Josh and Amber.
Had you ever met him in person?
I'd been there when he'd come to get the kids.
How did she react to losing custody?
Obviously not well.
Like anybody else?
Yeah. I mean, she's never not had the kid.
She blame you?
Probably.
Do you think he'd get her kids help and get her back?
I know there's no getting her back. There hasn't been.
I mean, in your mind, is that a possibility? You thought maybe this would help get her back in your depressed state and stuff?
I mean, it's done. It's been done. There's no getting her back. I've accepted that. That's why I've been in a state of mind.
Is it true you hated Josh?
I've never even met the man.
They then revealed to Tim that they knew he had driven to upstate New York around the time of the murders, but the detectives just wanted the truth about why.
I was originally going to go see her uncle, see if I could talk to him and get him to talk some sense into her and maybe get her to ride this thing out with me.
So where are you going to go?
Well, I've got a family friend that I was going to say. I'm gonna go see, but
422.
Where's that at?
That's all the way up in New York.
Tim explains that this was his initial plan in heading up to New York, but tells investigators that he didn't end up seeing Charlene's uncle. Instead, in his depressed state, he claimed to have just drove, slept, and drank during the entirety of his trip.
I mean, I could tell you life is hard, but my version of hard and your version of hard is two different things. I can't say my life's been that hard, but goodness. Can't sympathize with you.
If you think I'm going to sit here and say that I did that, you're crazy.
I think you're crazy if you don't, quite honestly.
Tim, it's not a question if you did it.
It's a question of why, and are you sorry? Do you think these five different detectives from New York drove down here for no reason?
I have no idea why the FBI is here.
What happens when you drive to commit a crime?
I didn't drive to commit a crime.
Hey, you're not a monster, man. You have f***ed up, there's no doubt about it. But there can be redemption in life, man. There really can. What you're showing me right now is that
you're a good person.
And not only that, you're a good cop at some times, right? I mean, we all screw up in life. But there's a path to redemption and everything else, Tim. Are you sorry Amber and Josh got killed? Do you hear what I'm saying?
I hear what you're saying.
Are you sorry they got killed? I'm not saying you killed them. Are you sorry they got killed?
They got killed.
Can you say their names?
Josh and Amber.
Say, I'm sorry Josh and Amber got killed. Not that
I
you
just
did it.
Said that.
No, I want. No, you didn't. You're saying
I'm
it in part. You
games.
Can't even. I'm not. You know because you can't. You realize you're talking about being in Sodus and everything. I mean, that's no doubt. You're saying that, but you didn't do it. You know who's going to believe that?
I didn't do it. They took my chances, I guess.
I've never been in the presence of a bigger coward.
Unfortunately for the investigators, Tim would not confess and continued to proclaim his innocence. However, this wasn't the only person in Texas that the police wanted to talk to. This is Bron Bolar. Braun had served 11 years as a Texas cop, most recently at the Sunray Police Department, after Tim had lost his job. The two were actually close friends, and when Tim wanted to drive to New York but was stuck at work, Braun picked up the rental himself and put it under his name. Following Tim's interrogation, they called Braun for his own interview.
You like police work?
Yes. Been it for 7 years.
They dove headfirst into the questions about Tim. They first asked why Braun had helped him with the rental.
His credit cards were maxed out,
yeah.
And he's 2 months behind. Yeah, he told me, hey, I need a vehicle for the weekend. Well, okay, not a problem.
Did you question what he's doing up in Kansas?
At first, no, because I thought he just had to go up there for a Frito-Lay, yeah. I was like, okay. You know, I took it at face value. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay, hey, are you okay? That's the main thing. He goes, yeah, I'm good. But the car's pretty effed up, excuse my language. And I was like, okay, you know, we got insurance, we'll get it fixed.
Dean never mentioned that he was going to go on a road trip, that he was going to go to New York, that he was going to go anywhere. He was just going to use that car, a rental car, locally.
Yes, sir.
So if I were to ask you, are you lying about knowing that Dean was taking that rental car to New York, what would you say?
I'd say no.
Okay. That's the truth, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Braun said that he felt a lot of sympathy for Tim and trusted him enough to help him out with the rental without questioning his intentions. That was until the phone call came in about Tim wrecking the rental car up in Kansas. The investigators then asked Braun if he would be willing to take a polygraph test, to which he agreed. Cooperative as he was, Braun failed the polygraph miserably, and more questioning followed.
You failed that question, okay?
Braun has a decision to make, whether he wants to be a good witness or he wants to be charged in conspiracy to commit two murders.
You definitely don't want that.
So you're saying you overheard Dean say, what?
Depper's gonna die.
Depper's gonna die?
Mm-hmm. And he's going up there to kill him.
He said he's gonna go up there to kill him?
Yes, sir.
So the plan was laid in then?
Yes, sir.
That you rent the car, not in his name, so he wouldn't get caught up? Mm-hmm. I'm down. You're a very important witness, bro. I'll walk you out here.
Braun was allowed to go home following this interview. However, the police chief for Sunray PD, his own workplace, followed him home to keep an eye on him while they obtained an arrest warrant. Once the warrant was ready, Braun was immediately detained. Law enforcement now had the alleged shooter and his accomplice detained. However, this investigation wasn't over. Detectives decided to backtrack to the one and only Charlene, while she definitely wasn't the shooter and wasn't in New York at the time of the murders. They wanted to know whether she was involved at all. A big reason for the lingering suspicion surrounding her was during one of her phone calls with the police early on in the investigation. She stated that she learned of Josh's death through a Facebook post. The post didn't reveal the names of the victims, but Charlene knew it was Josh and Amber since a photo revealed the address and street name of the crime scene. However, this was a lie. There was no photo of Josh's house shared to the public, so it was impossible for Charlene to have found out this way. Another big reason was that while Tim's rental car was under Braun's name, Braun had told investigators that Charlene was actually the one who had driven him to the rental agency. Just 8 days after the murders, the police located Charlene at an ex-boyfriend's house and asked her to come down to the station for questioning. They started off by asking her again how she found out, to which Charlene explained the Facebook story and calling Josh's mother afterwards.
So I called his mom. And she's like, Charlene? Yes? What's going on? Josh is dead! I hit the floor.
Really?
What the hell is going on?
Yeah.
Like, it still feels like a horrible bad dream.
Right.
How, who, why? That's what I want to know.
They then asked Charlene if Tim had any hatred towards Josh or if there was any reason why Tim would want Josh dead.
Tim knew the stuff that Josh had done to me.
What, like, what do you mean?
Josh used to beat the hell out of me.
Oh, really? That's fine.
But, you know, Tim had never really spoke too bad about him, you know. It was more of, you know, if I could ever get into a fight with him, I would fight him.
Do you think Tim's capable of shooting somebody?
I can't see it.
Yeah.
Like, unless it was, like, on the job protecting his life.
Right, yeah, stuff, yeah.
I can't see it. He's not that type of person.
No. Did you take somebody to go rent a vehicle?
I took a friend to go rent a vehicle.
Who's that?
Braun. Well, I can't say his last name.
Braun?
Ron.
Isn't that kind of unusual? That, I mean,
I just keep people's privacy. I mean, we talked, but we didn't talk about that.
Did you help him?
I drove up there, took him to the rental car.
Didn't tell you where he's going or what he's doing?
Nope. I don't ask questions. I don't care. Honestly, I assumed it was for work.
Okay.
Because he works for Frito-Lay now.
Okay.
So he travels all the damn time. I got there around Saturday night, I think.
Okay. How long is that?
So 5 hours for me.
Holy cow.
You had to
help me. He filled up my gas tank, so I didn't care.
I cut your ass here to fill up your gas
tank. Yeah. So that was like last resort. I was like, ask anybody else that you can, because I don't feel like coming up there afterwards. I don't feel like doing for you. I don't, you know.
Yeah.
But if you're stranded, I'm not going to just be that kind of person that's like, you know what, fuck you, you know?
No, I understand. Absolutely.
Honestly,
no, that's...
And it comes around.
Right. Did you have anything to do with Tim shooting Josh and Amber?
No.
Did you put Tim up to it?
No.
As you can see, Charlene is beginning to crack under the pressure. She would eventually go on to confess to her involvement in the murders. She explained to the detectives that after losing custody of her children in August, she had a conversation with Tim saying that Josh had to go, to which Tim agreed.
You know, I was like, God, I wish he would just fucking die in a ditch somewhere, because every time I turn around, he's always bad about it, saying how I'm divorced, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm done. I'm to my point. Me and Tim talked about it. You know, yes. Okay? I wanted just everything to go back to how it was, where I had my kids during the school year. He had them for the summer and every other Christmas. I just wanted it to go back to normal.
I need to know what you know about the gun.
Black. I don't know what caliber. I know it belonged to the Sunbury Police Department. So that's one gun that he told me that he never gave back to us.
Leading up to the murders, Tim, Charlene, and Braun would have meetings in Tim's garage where they came up with the plan to kill Josh. Charlene would drop off Braun at the rental agency, who would drive the rental to Tim. Tim would then drive to New York to murder Josh. Plain and simple. Apparently, Amber was never supposed to be killed, according to their plan. When Tim had wrecked the rental, Charlene drove all the way to meet him at the Motel 6 and drop him off at the airport to get a new rental car and resume the plan. On November 5th, 2018, Charlene and Tim were charged for the murders of Josh and Amber.
After announcing charges against Dean and Childers, Wayne County Sheriff Barry Vert said it is an assumption one could make that this double homicide was over a child custody battle, with Dean pulling the trigger.
Now, Dean was charged with one count of first-degree murder and two counts of second-degree murder. He's currently in Texas, but he is expected to be moved up here to face those charges. Childers is charged with conspiracy, among other charges, and is now being held in the Wayne County Jail.
Charlene ended up pleading guilty to her charges and testifying against Tim as part of a deal she had made with the prosecutor.
She says the plan included stealing a gun from the Sunray Police Department in Texas, where Dean served as a police chief. Prosecutors say Dean then traveled back to New York State to commit the murders. When asked about Niall's death and the custody battle, Childers testified, quote, "I got what I wanted."
The jury has found Timothy Dean, the Texas police chief charged in the double murder in Sotus, guilty of two counts of murder.
The man who killed two people in Wayne County last year will spend the rest of his life in prison. The judge told Timothy Dean he will die there.
Mr. Dean, you are certainly a classic psychopath. You've never shown one bit of emotion in this courtroom, not once of guilt or remorse. I really wonder what goes on in your head. If you have any sense of a conscience, you have to be haunted by what you've done.
The mother of Joshua Niles spoke emotionally to Braun Bolar in court, saying he had enough time to stop the suspects from committing the murder.
You had plenty of time to stop them. You were a police officer. You were supposed to protect and serve.
Amber Washburn's parents also stood in front of Bolar but were too emotional to address him. The prosecutor read a letter on their behalf.
You destroyed several people's lives. Gabriella Niles, Bentley Niles, and Joshua Niles Jr. all lost their father. And Joshua Jr. also lost his mother as well.
Bolar was charged and pleaded guilty to conspiracy to commit murder after investigators say he helped Timothy Dean rent a car which he used to drive from Texas to Sotus to kill the couple.
Charlene Childers got 28 years in prison for her part in the murder of her children's father and his girlfriend.
Just want to say, Ms. Childers, I've had a lot of murder trials. Murder is senseless and tragic, but this, it has to be the most senseless and tragic murderer of Abraham.
When all was said and done, Bron Bolar spent 1 year and 4 months in prison before being released. Timothy Dean was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole, and Charlene Childers was sentenced to 28 years in prison.